Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him and at his right hand as a leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, we hear the word of the Lord as it comes from the gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. This is a continuation of the Easter scripture that was read last week. And here we have Jesus appearing to his disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark on his side, I will not believe." It was then a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Hey, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side, and do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life, and you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, there are some words from an old Annie Lennox song that haunt me. She sang, "Dying is easy. It's living that scares me to death. I can offer no proof of the first, of that statement, but I do know about living, and I think the song is right. It was 7 years ago, on Good Friday, that it was discovered that I had a number of blood clots in my leg and in my left lung. That was the discovery of following my 6 hours in the ER. And then at midnight, the ambulance ride to the Sacramento Hospital, where an umbrella was inserted into one of my veins to catch any clots that may be heading toward my heart. And it was one of those life moments that scared me to death. It was my first ambulance ride. It was the first time in over 50 years of ever missing an Easter Sunday worship. It was time to pause for a moment and just to consider the miracle called life that sort of causes our lungs to keep sucking in air even without remembering to give them orders, that causes us to keep our eyes open in the morning so that we are resurrected each new day after a night of sleep. And so on Easter morning that day, I was able to look out of my fourth floor hospital window and see many beautiful trees covered with green. There were hundreds of bushes that were blooming with glimmering pink flowers. And indeed, I was glad just to be alive. And so for me, what an Easter day it was. But you see, I think these are all of the little miracles, all the little theophanies, the crying out, God lives, God cares, God is unspeakably good. But yes, sometimes I think we either miss things like that or we just take all of the beauty that we see for granted. Or we have those sacred moments that remind us of a trustful relationship we have with God and how God watches over us. There are times when we're not sure what has just taken place, times when we may be just totally surprised or shocked at what just took place, and something that really doesn't seem real, or we can't believe something amazing has just happened. And I think that must have been the way the disciples felt on that first Easter morning. You remember things had not gone well with them during the week. The awful evening when they argued at dinner about who was going to be first and who it was that betrayed the master. And then there was the scuffle in the garden, Jesus being taken away by the soldiers. And then came the long night of waiting and shifting back and forth from court to court. Finally, ending in Pilate's palace where he just wanted to wash his hands of the whole thing and did. And then the scene of Jesus being beaten and crucified like a common criminal. And so it was a night that didn't end with the coming of daylight, but a day that brought about darkness at noonday and the earthquake that shook the city. And Saturday wasn't any better. There was all kinds of fear and confusion, and the disciples hidden away in some secret room, and all of the discussions about the doubt of their mission. What was it all for, if it meant just ending in death? They remembered the bitter hatred of the crowd, and so it was not a good couple of nights. And then, as we heard last week, there was Mary, gentle Mary. Mary going to the tomb at the dawn of a new day and the sun casting shadows across the rocks. Mary, one of life's castaways, and it's one of the more memorable scenes, I think, of history. Jesus standing there behind her as she peers into the empty tomb. And she's weeping because the body is not there. And as we heard from Pastor Dan last week, she turns around and we hear her plea to the one she thought to be the gardener, "Tell me, please, where have you taken him? I want to go to him and finish the task of anointing the body." And then I think of those soft-spoken words of Jesus as he said, "Mary, Mary." And there was this sudden recognition. And the tears of sorrow turned to tears of joy, and the night is banished. And I think an interesting note that in John's gospel, there are no more night scenes. I think an intentional style of John's writing. And so that every morning is Easter morning. The darkness is past, and in spite of how things might appear, we now discover that God is in charge of the world. And today, John begins the continuing story with these words. He says, "It was on that day." You know, that day. The day that comes to mind when you think of the day that it really ended up changing your life. Maybe it was your wedding day. Maybe it was a graduation day. The day you saw the love of your life across the room for the first time. Or the day you realized you were now alone and lost the love of your life. You know, that day which changed everything. And John says, it was on that day. And the disciples are in hiding and they're scared, and they thought the Jewish leaders might come after them. And they were all huddled together there in that room. Nothing was eventful about that day until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, everything changed. Jesus came out of nowhere, and there he was, changing everything about him. He was alive, and their world was now turned upside down. And Easter reminds us that the way has been opened to us so that we may be found to be in the very presence of God. It's a promise we live by, and it's also a promise by which we die. It reminds us that the essence of life that is ours comes through the Christ. And so the message of Easter is that God is with us and will bring all of our night times into a glorious morning. And so what a difference it is, you see, viewing life the morning after. All because of that day. We must remember that Jesus, who stands in the garden or wherever we are, is the one who also calls us by name. Mary, Mary. John, Frank, June, Martha, Bill. You see, this is the Jesus who calls us all by our name. And though Mary went to the garden looking for one who was dead, it was the risen Lord who found her. He found her. And that's always true for you and me, that all of the time that we may seek him, yet he is the one who finds us. He is the one who calls us by name. That's the promise of Easter. That's the view of life we are promised because of that day and now the morning after. 50-some years ago as a young man serving my first parish. Long before we had ever heard about near-death visions or of ever looking into heaven, there was this wonderful lady of faith. She was in her 90s, close to death. And shortly before she died and we're standing next to her, she said, "Pastor Bill, I see the pasture and it's beautiful. Do you see it?" And I said, No, Em, I wish I could, but I don't see it." And her last words were, "You will. You will." Friends, have you seen the resurrected Lord? Believe, and you will. You will. Amen.